And let's begin in verse 5. Matthew 6, chapters 5, I'm sorry, verses 5 through 6. Matthew 6. Jesus said, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray stand in synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Father, we thank you that it is you to whom we pray. And we thank you for that privilege that has come through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, that we can enter your presence. Father, we pray that you would teach us to pray today and in the coming days and weeks, that you would help us see what we must see. Lord, open our minds and hearts to the power of the Holy Spirit that we might see you and pray to you and love you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Where should you pray? It is obvious location was an issue, for in verse 5, Jesus talked about how the hypocrites, they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners. So there was an issue with location. With location. How many of you have heard the rule about real estate, that there are three rules about real estate? You remember what they were? Can anybody name all three of them? Huh? Location, location, and location. So location is very important, not only in real estate, but also in prayer. In fact, in verse 6, Jesus said to go into the closet and close the door. What did Jesus mean by that? Prayer is obviously an audience before God and to God in heaven. And therefore, my message is this: pray to God and before God in heaven. What is the location? Is the location your room? Is the location the street corner? The church? Is Jesus condemning all public prayer? If he was, I would not have prayed publicly. Is your home and the closed door in your room, is that the location? I submit to you that the location is heaven. See, you have two issues here. You have location as an issue, and you have the audience as an issue. For we see in verse 5 that they prayed in the synagogue standing and on the street corners to be seen by men. So we have the issue of location, and we have the issue of audience. I believe the location is heaven, and I believe the audience is God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Not men, not people. Then why did Jesus say, go into the room and close the door? For it was a contrast of location that the Pharisees used. But even behind closed doors in your room is not the ultimate location. I believe that the ultimate location is to where we should focus our prayer is heaven. There was an issue throughout the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus was countering the tradition of the Jews. Well, did Isaiah prophesy, Jesus said, that these people love to praise me, and I would add, pray to me with their lips, to worship me with their lips, but what was far from them? Their heart, he said, was far from me. So not even your words, and we'll deal with words next week, are the issue. The issue is the heart. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they had an issue with pretending. There was an old song that said, "Oh, I'm the great pretender." Remember that old song? Well, you see, the Pharisees and Sadducees were the great pretenders. Jesus calls them in verse 5 hypocrites, as he did in other places. He says, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites who loved to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. You know what a hypocrite is? I hope you remember. It is to pretend to be and do something that you're not. And I believe that Jesus is pointing out the greatest type of hypocrisy is religious hypocrisy. One commentator said that the worst part of religion is when the old man becomes religious. All you've done is dressed up the outer, the old man, without a change of heart, and he becomes religious. I believe that it is the highest sin. Jesus said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. You know what he was talking about? He was talking about hypocrisy. It is pretending in prayer to be praying to God. It is pretending that God is the audience. It is pretending that heaven is the location. But you are doing it to be seen of men. That's the problem. And as I said, I believe it is the greatest form of sin. And we'll get to more to that in a moment. But the location is heaven. Why do I emphasize that? Because God's in heaven. He says, isn't God every place? Yes. But he is speaking of this intimate communication, this intimate relationship. Turn to the book of Job. He said, I believe that prayer is having an audience with God in heaven. Job, the first chapter. Prayer is having an audience with God. It is the privilege. There's an old spiritual song that says, oh, what the privilege to come to God in prayer. Notice Job 1 and verse 6. It says, one day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord and Satan. I believe that we come to present ourselves in prayer before God. Job 1 and verse 6. See, it's not your neighbor. Oh, that old song said, oh Lord, it's not my mother, it's not my brother, it's not my father, but it's me, oh Lord, who stands in the need of prayer. We stand before God, even if it's in church, even if it's on a corner, even if it's in the synagogue, it is God we must have a consciousness that we are standing before him, even as the angels and Satan himself came for an audience with God. And notice verse 7, and the Lord said to Satan, where have you come from? So these are people, these are not people but angels, spirit beings who come to present themselves before the Lord. In prayer, remember that you're coming into the presence of God in heaven to present yourself to him. Without pretense. Because he sees, right? You're not coming before me. You're not coming before the public. You are coming before God who sees. And I like the way Jesus uses this play on words. Come with me back to Matthew 5. He says, the hypocrites, for they love to stand praying in the synagogues and the street corners. Notice, to be seen by men. We don't come to be seen by men. We present ourselves in prayer to be seen by God. That's the implication. He says, I tell you the truth. They have received their reward in full. Listen, there is something about the fallen nature that wants to be worshiped. Did you hear me? When Adam and Eve sinned, Satan told them, look, you can be like God, knowing good and evil.
We're not God. We are creatures. He is creator. And it's so important to keep that creature-creator distinction. But we want to be worshiped. We want to be praised. We want to be well thought of. We want people to see us, even doing our worship to God. I must tell a little bit of a family secret. I had some relatives one time who had to practice. They would stop by our house before church, and they would talk about how they were going to shout at church that day. They described what they were going to do and how they were going to outshout one another. I had enough sense even at that time to know that that was not right. But it was not in particular to these people in my family. Many people go to church. They dress to be seen by others, right? They sing to be heard by others. And it's nothing wrong with dressing and singing. But unless you are doing it unto the Lord, it is hypocrisy. We come to appear, even as the angels did, before the Lord, not to be seen of men. But look at the play that I'm trying to show you here. For they have their reward. The reward is to be glorified. You want to be glorified. You have it by another person, not by God. God is to be glorified in worship, not us. We are the worshipers, not the worshipee. Now watch this. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Notice the play on words. Men see, and you can see them applauding you. You can see them looking at you. You can see them, quote unquote, being impressed by you. But to your Father who is unseen, he is spirit, and he's unseen. Then your Father, notice, who sees. Men see, but they are people you can see. They are creatures. We're talking about presenting ourselves before God. You cannot see him, but he sees. And I believe that Jesus is saying he not only sees what you're doing, he sees your heart. He sees your focus. He sees your motive. He sees that you want an audience rather than God being the audience. Who sees what is done in secret and will reward you. And it's interesting that if we humble ourselves, God will lift us up. If we humble ourselves and worship him, he will glorify us. Do not seek to be glorified by men. In your religious life, prayer, fasting, blessings, trials, seek God. Seek his face. Seek his glory. That is to glorify him. That location is heaven. I say that the twist of that, the hypocrisy of that, practicing religion to be seen and glorified by others is the ultimate sin. We have a lot in the news today about homosexual marriage. And I attest to you that it is a sin. We're to love people, but that is a sin. But I say unto you, the hypocrisy of religion is worse. It's worse than any sin that you could imagine. Jesus was criticized because he fellowshiped with sinners, even prostitutes. And he was criticized for it. But Jesus indicted the Pharisees. He did, sure, he said that was sin. The woman caught in adultery, go and sin no more. But he indicted the Pharisees and the Sadducees worse than he did as sinners, because they were the great pretenders. They were pretending that they were doing service to God. They're pretending that they were righteous. I want to read something to you. And this is taken from a study on the Sermon on the Mount by Martin Lloyd-Jones.
This is what he says.
We tend to think of sin as we see it in rags and in the gutters of life. We look at the drunkard, poor fellow, and say, there's sin. But that is not the essence of sin. To have a real picture of the true understanding of sin, you must look at some great saint, some unusually devout and devoted man. Look at him there on his knees in the very presence of God. Even there, his self is intruding. And the temptation for him is to think about himself while on his knees, to think pleasantly and pleasurably about himself, and to really be worshiping himself rather than God. That, not the other, is the true picture of sin. The other sin, of course, is sin, but there you do not see it at its acme. You do not see it in its essence. Or to put it in another form, if you really want to understand something about the nature of Satan and his activities, the thing to do is not go to the dregs and the gutters of life. If you really want to know something about Satan, go away to the wilderness where our Lord spent 40 days and 40 nights. That's the true picture of Satan, where you see him tempting the very Son of God. Satan is busier in religious spheres than any other place. And sin, that is an abomination to God, is worse in religious circles than any other place. Believe it or not, let's go to the temple and I'll show you what I mean. You think about Jesus while we're turning to Luke 18 in the wilderness. Let's go to Luke 18. Let's go to the temple and I want to show you sin. I want to show you what is a stench in the nostrils of God. In Luke 18, and in verse 10, you've heard this before, but I want you to think about it in light of this message. Verse 9, to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray. Notice prayer. That's what I want to emphasize here. One a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. How often have you and I prayed about ourselves? God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, homosexuals, you name it, put it in there. Or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven. I want you to pause there. He wouldn't look up to heaven. But who was closest to heaven? But beat his breast and said, "Oh God, have mercy on me, a sinner." Jesus said, "I tell you, this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself, looking for the praise of men, will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." In prayer, sin and hypocrisy lurks at your knees. Was not sin lurking when Jesus was in the garden at Gethsemane? While praying to the Father, was he not tempted to rebel against the will of his Father? He struggled. He asked more than once, Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. But he said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. That was a real struggle. To not follow the Father's will. This was not some old, do I do it or not? No, it was a struggle. In his humanity, he struggled. In the very presence of God. In the audience of God. It's about location. It's about audience. But before God, the man in the temple who beat on his breast, the sinner, cried for mercy. And it was before God that Jesus submitted to the Father. It's about location. And the location is heaven. It's about the audience. Remember the woman at the well? In John 4, I won't take the time to turn there. But you remember? She wanted to know where. She wanted to know location that she was supposed to worship. She, being a Samaritan, thought it was at Mount Gerizim. The Jews said, no, it's at Jerusalem. And what did Jesus say? The time is coming and now is. In other words, in embryo, the future is here. That the true worshipers of God will not worship at this place or at that place, but the true worshipers of God will worship Him in spirit and in truth. For God, He said, is a spirit. And He seeks those to worship Him in spirit and truth. What did He mean? Spirit. What does it mean to worship God in spirit? It means to worship God by the power of the Holy Spirit with all your being, with all your heart, towards Him as the audience. And in truth, according to His word. For the Samaritans had rejected the poetic books and the prophetic books that talked about that it was coming through the Messiah, coming through Jesus. Although they looked for a Messiah, they did not have that understanding. We're to worship God according to His word. That's truth. And through Jesus, who is the truth, which is the only way to God. God in heaven. Prayer is an audience with God and to God in heaven. In some way. And I don't completely understand it, but Paul wrote it in Ephesians 2, around verse 5. He says, God has raised us up, and we are seated with Christ in heavenly realms. Frankly, I do not believe heaven is just a place. I believe it is a place. But I believe that it is beyond the dimensions of time and space. Now, that's just my theory. I cannot prove that from Scripture. But it is a place. Where we are seated. How are we seated in Christ? I don't know. But through the Spirit, we are there to worship God in spirit and truth. Paul reminded us in Colossians 3. He says, set your mind on things above. When we pray and worship God, our mind should not be on other people and what they're thinking of us or how am I sounding. Even how this sermon is going, frankly. Many times before I speak, I have to focus on God. That it is not about just teaching you, but primarily giving this message to God. And you know how I have struggled, as I have told many of you, how there have been times, and sometimes still, how I struggle. And I have to focus on God. You say, what do you mean struggle? Being a man. Being fallen. I have to struggle with my flesh sometimes. After years of preaching to hundreds and thousands of people,
to preach to just a handful sometimes. And I have to do that unto the Lord. For whether I speak to hundreds or thousands or to one, you're not the one. And I am not the one. That one is God. And I pray. And sometimes I have to struggle in prayer. Father, help me to go there and give this message as unto you with all my heart. For it is an act of worship to you. Whether no one is seated out there. Whether it's this one absent this week or that one not here or this one or a whole bunch of people or nobody, I must do it unto you in spirit with my whole heart unto God and preach according to the truth as I understand it. So it's not primarily to you that I give this message or any message, but unto God. For when I begin to give it to you, even though for your benefit and edification, I've missed it. It's got to be to God. It's not to you to say, oh, I really got a lot out of that, and I appreciate the comments and so forth. Don't misunderstand me. But was I faithful to God and His Word? In the final analysis, that's what it's about. Whether I'm preaching, whether I'm praying, no matter what I'm doing, God is my audience. He said, therefore, set your mind on things above, where your life is hidden with God in Christ. Set your prayers there. I want to read you something. I didn't have it in my notes, but I read it earlier this morning, and I didn't know whether to read it. But let's read it in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. Hebrews, chapter 12. And I encourage you to read Revelation. Revelations, the book of Revelations. I encourage you to read it. I'm my personal study. I'm in Revelation 4 and 5 right now, and I just got a sense of the throne of God as John tries to describe it to us. Notice in verse 22 of Hebrews chapter 12. He says, but you have come to Mount Zion, you have come to the heavenly Jerusalem, to the city of the living God. We sang earlier this morning or this afternoon, glorious things of thee are spoken, city of our God. Heaven, this is what we've come to. He's writing to Christians. You've come to Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. That's what we've come to. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly right now who are worshiping God. It's not just us here. No matter how great or few. But with thousands of angels in joyful assembly. To the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God. That's who you pray to. That's who we worship. The judge of all men, who are looking at the hearts. Not some outward show of hypocrisy. Not great pretenders, but great worshipers in spirit and truth. To the spirits of righteous men made perfect. There are those thousands upon thousands who have died and who are in heaven. They are worshiping God. And we've come to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. You see, that's what we've come to. This is not some mystical thing in the sense that it is not real. Yes, it's mystical because we can understand it, but there are really angels that we are before. There are other saints in heaven who've gone on before us. And there's Jesus. David had this sense of prayer to God. That God was his audience. And the location is heaven. I love reading the Psalms. I want to read a couple with you as we conclude. Psalm 121. Notice this sense of an of a location. This audience of God. Psalm 121, verses 1 through 2. David wrote, I lift up my eyes to the hills. What hill? Just hills? Stone mountain? No. That term hills was descriptive of the dwelling of the Lord. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Notice location heaven. Notice audience God. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. We come into the presence of the creator and sustainer of all things, the God who is also not just the God of creation, he is the God of history. And so when I come and I pray before him, I know that he's created all things and all the things that I get concerned about, and he sustains them, and that he is the God of history that I come before. In heaven, it says that he has the scrolls. This is the scroll of history and how God is working out and orchestrating history according to his purpose, and even the history of my life and all the saints and all the world. That's the God I come to. That's the God I preach to. In Psalm 123, notice what David said. I lift up my eyes to you, God. To you whose throne is in heaven. Location and audience. God is the audience. I lift up my eyes to you. To you whose throne is in heaven. As my eye, as the eyes of slaves look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maid look to the hand of her mistress, not looking at who's watching us praying or preaching or singing, so our eyes look to the Lord, our God, till he shows us his mercy. Have mercy on us, O Lord. Have mercy on us, for we have endured much contempt. We have endured much ridicule from the proud, much contempt from the arrogant. Oh, if it had not been for the Lord, Psalm 124, who was on our side. Let Israel say, if it had not been for the Lord when men attacked us. Verse 8, our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Prayer is an audience with God and to God in heaven. Pray to God in heaven. Father, even these words are your words, and they're too awesome for us. We're even incapable of doing it. We recognize how far we short in this, do we fall. And we need you, Jesus. Thank you for forgiving us of our hypocrisy. Just help us to pray. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for taking our prayers to the Father. And just help us in our daily walk to look to heaven and to focus on the Creator, the Sustainer, and the God of history. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.